Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Еще раз такое устроите, и мы вас пристрелим на месте. Уроды.
You're happy now, American? Was that worth it? Was that worth it?
We call it a Demogorgon. I don't know how they got it here, what the hell they're doing with it. Everything I said about it is true. Except it has one weakness. Fire. Hates fire. So I figure if we want a shot at killing this thing, we need some fuel, and we need something to light it with. So you asked me if it was worth it? To answer your question? Yeah, I think it was worth it.
You son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch. Oh, don't make me laugh. My ribs are broken. Don't make me laugh.
Stranger danger, talking stranger things. Together forever, we're loving stranger things. It's stranger things forever. Rewatching season 4 from the start to the finish. It's Stranger Things forever. Every podcast we do will cover just 10 minutes. Stranger danger everywhere. I hope that you people still care. It's time for me to do it. Let's get to it. Come on, everyone.
Good evening, stranger friends, and welcome to a very special episode of Stranger Things Forever. Well, today, on Halloween, I will be talking about the next 10 minutes of
The Dive.
Today, we will be discussing minutes 50 to 60. But before we get to those minutes, I just want to say Happy Halloween to everybody. I am recording this on the evening itself, October 31st, 2025, which means we are now 27 days away, 26 days away, I don't know, you know, look at the calendar, you'll see. We're getting closer to Stranger Things 5, and I find that these last few weeks will be the scariest because it will just feel like we're waiting forever, ever, ever, ever. Anyway, I was debating with myself whether or not I would talk like this the entire time. And I thought to myself, some people might think, oh, ooh, what was that? I went on the YouTube website, found at youtube.com, and searched for scary sounds. so I have no idea what's coming. Oh!
Where are you?
There's someone there?
I miss you.
This is very scary. I did not listen to this or prepare anything, so I don't know if there is a ghoul about. Anyway, I was debating whether or not I was going to talk like this the whole time. Some people might say, oh, that is very funny. While others might say, oh my goodness, this dude is quite an asshole. Well, for those people I say fear not, because I cannot keep this up forever. And that music in the background is annoying, and this echo is annoying, and the reverb is annoying. But sometimes I find myself just talking like this around the house, which I'm sure my wife also finds annoying. Okay, I admit that is creeping me out. So let's just leave all this behind, all this spookiness, and let me go back into the normal world of Stranger Things forever.
I'll never forgive you.
Jesus Christ, what was that?
Don't you run away.
Okay, I'm leaving now. This is really scary. Oh, it's good to be back. It's good to talk in my normal, mature voice and not in the voice that I constantly talk to myself in, talk to my friends in, talk to my wife in. And now I talk to you guys, the stranger friends. Happy Halloween, everybody. I couldn't help myself. I did think about doing the entire episode in that voice and never explaining it, never like even mentioning it and just that being it. And then maybe the next day be like, sorry, I couldn't put on an episode yesterday. I'll be like, well, what's this? Someone already did? But I did, as you can tell, I did not listen to that creepy haunted house sounds that I found on YouTube because I did not know there was going to be like a creepy little kid yapping in the background while I'm trying to do some sort of Dracula voice to you guys. So because of that, I decided, because I also didn't know what I was going to say, I just started, again, talking. I decided I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to talk in this voice anymore. I need a way out of it. And then luckily being frightened by those children did the trick. So here I am. I hope everyone did have a nice Halloween. You know, pretty, like, we laid low as usual. It's a Friday night, so people might be out, you know, doing crazy stuff. Not us. No, I just handed out candy for a while. I sat outside for a while until it was too cold. Hung out with my dog. She's dressed up as Tinkerbell. It's adorable. You know what? I should put a link in the show notes to my dog. I'll put a picture in the show notes of my dog dressed as Tinkerbell. That, and I might have mentioned this on previous episodes. I don't know if I did, but she is award-winning as Tinkerbell. We went to two dog pet contests. One was at a pet store we go to up in New Hampshire. She won first prize. And then last week we went to a pet parade in the next town over, and she also won a, what was it? First friggin' prize. So I'm going to put a picture of her in the show notes because she is adorable. And she deserves to be seen. You deserve to see her too. It's like, you know, congratulations. You get to see my cute little beagle that I'm sure I've talked about and have had, like, you probably heard crying in the background. I have to go take my dog out. I'll be right back. But I'll put that in there. Anyway, we sat outside for a while before it was too cold. And that was it. That was the big Halloween. A little passing out candy and now talking to you guys about Stranger Things. Was there anything actually scary in this 10 minutes? But there's always something a little like, ooh, spooky. But I'm not sure if there's anything where I was like, it's downright horror, like we saw in the trailer yesterday. I keep thinking about Vecna and him calling Will William also was just like, it's like when your parents, you know, use your full name, Michael, like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Or your wife, Michael, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I don't know if my wife ever called me Michael. Interesting. I do have a friend whose grandchild, yes, I'm old enough to have friends who have grandchildren, but they're young grandparents. I mean, they're young. And to this whole group of people, my name is Mikey, to all of them. That is my name. And the granddaughter started calling me Michael. Michael, Michael, come here. I was over there watching the football Patriots game a couple of weeks ago. Michael. And we're like, nobody in the house calls me Michael. Nobody in decades has called me Michael in that family, in the house. And I don't know. And they're like, she doesn't even have a friend named Michael in like preschool or anything like that. I don't even think she's in preschool. I don't think she's old enough for that. And yet somehow it was very funny that she called me Michael. And now to me, to her, that's my official name, Michael. I don't know if it will be forever, but for right now, it is. So for Will, I don't think I've ever heard anyone call him William. Will the Wise and Will, sure. Will Byers, always wasn't even like the Flyers, Will Byers. Have you seen Will Byers? So for Vecna to call him William is like really brings some gravitas to what he's about to do or use him for. Well, that's the thing. What's he going to use him for? Because I always feel like Will is the anti Vecna. Like he's the key to saving everybody. I think people think it's 11. I think it's Will. There's definitely some connection between the Upside Down and Will ever since he was first taken. And who knows, maybe even before that, maybe he was taken because the Demogorgon was attracted to his house, was like pulled towards his house because it was in his shed, remember? Maybe it was, we're going to find out that all of that was planned and he was in the Upside Down and they were feeding off of him. Remember he was in the, like he had the vines in him and Hopper got him out. Like maybe that, okay, did I just come up with a thought, a theory? Maybe none of it was random. Ooh. I feel like I focused so much on the trailer yesterday. I don't want to focus too much time on it, but I got to get to those 10 minutes. But that thought just crossed my mind and interesting. But that moment and the way Vecna looked, looked more horrific than ever. So that at least is something scary that we can think about on this wonderful holiday of Halloween. One thing that isn't scary, one thing that I do like is when I get comments from people, and I want to read a few things that I got from three different places. Yesterday, I posted a video on my TikTok, which is Geek Mentality Mike, or on the YouTube channel, which is Fans Not Experts. It was me just watching the trailer for the first time. It literally is just the entire trailer with me going, like that's pretty much the entirety of the video. But, you know, nobody watched it on YouTube, literally has 8 views, but within those 8 views, somebody left a comment. And, I just want to read the comment said, recently discovered you on Apple Podcasts. Good to see your face. Looking forward to season 5 with a smiley face. Actually, is that a nervous smiley face? Because it's the beginning of the end. My eyes are failing. Let me zoom in a little bit. That's me zooming in. I hit the microphone. Yes, it looks more like the big eyes, like I'm nervous, because I'm nervous too. Thank you. And I'm very happy that you've listened to the podcast. Then you saw a video of me, and hopefully you'll still listen to the podcast. It didn't scare you away. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much. That was from Evidence of a Charmed Life on YouTube. On TikTok, that one, now people actually did watch it on TikTok, or at least they watched it for 5 seconds. I don't know how long, but it seemed like some people found it there. And Shake Up Creations Mia wrote a comment. This is fire, 3 fires emoji. So I have to say it, fire, fire. There's all 3. But I'm so scared of who's going to die. And that ending of the trailer has me gobsmacked. Folks, we don't use the word gobsmacked enough in our day-to-day life. I don't want you to use the word godsmacked because then you might think, oh, I want to listen to that band. And you don't. They're okay, but you don't have to do that. But gobsmacked, what a wonderful word. And I agree with you. I did write back and I said, same, because that was the clever response. Same. I feel the same way. Like, somebody is going to die, because who wants to live forever? And oh, the ending of that trailer, we talked about that already with William. Oh my goodness gracious, so excited. So I got a comment on the YouTube and a comment on the TikTok. And then I want to talk about a third message I got. And this message said, listen to your newest Stranger Things podcast this morning on my way into work today, Mikey. Mikey? Wait, who calls me Mikey? Pumped for Stranger Things 5. Me and Jesse just put on Stranger Things 4 now to re-watch it with !! That didn't come in a comment on Spotify or YouTube. It didn't come on any social media. It wasn't posted to Apple, you know, podcast or anything. It came in a text message. A text message from a young friend of mine who I've known his entire life. It's actually, okay, that giant text chain I told you about, this guy's in it too. He's my friend's nephew. He's my other friend's son. And him and his wife listen to the podcast. So literally, the first thing I wrote back was, it's always nice to meet a fan, because I want to be a prick. I want to be a little jerk to him. And, you know, I laughed at that, but that was awesome. I didn't know he listened. I don't think I knew he listened. Maybe he did mention it before and I forgot, because I'm not that bright. And I don't know if he just listened to the trailer episode or if he's listening to this right now. But if he is listening to this right now, I'm going to make a plea to him. Dom, you need to come see Ghost with us. I've said it. I've said it on text messages. I've said it to you in person. Now I'm saying it to you here. If you listen to this, you need to come to see a Ghost concert with us the next time they come around. Okay, that was just between him and I. But thank you, Dom. That is actually kind of cool that you listen to the podcast. And now, without further ado, because I've wasted all your time long enough, let's get to the next 10 minutes of The Dive. Wait. The next 10 minutes of, I want to talk about the next 10 minutes of The Dive. Sorry, I just wanted to play a little Pearl Jam. All right, let's get to it. So we pick up right at the tail end of Murray blindfolding Yuri and telling him it's a silent role, because remember, they're going to go into the prison and claim that Yuri is the American who has been captured and Murray is the Russian there to collect his reward. The real excitement happens when we cut over to the prison. And I played part of that at the beginning as the opening clip, where they're coming out of that wonderful dinner, and Antonov and Hopper just get into a massive shouting match, which at first I thought was theater, but it kind of wasn't. Antonov was, you know, angry that Hopper was basically bringing down the room, you know, making everyone upset, and, you know, how just making everyone depressed about what they're going to have to face. And Hopper said he felt like he was more being a realist. And then he starts, you know, Antonov saying, I have a son at home. I want to get back to him. And Hopper's like, oh, is he slow? Because if he's smart, he's not your son. And that basically, and he mentions something about his wife. He goes, you're going to die. I'm going to die. And that got Antonov to punch him, slug him in the face. And a good old-fashioned Donnybrook broke out with guards and prisoners. And Hopper even smacked a guard. And then they get dragged into their prison cell. And the guard tells them, you try that again, I'm going to shoot you. He said it more Russian, but that's what he said. And when they're inside the cell, Antonov's like, was it worth it, American? Was it worth it? And he goes on his little speech where he goes, it's called the Demogorgon. I fought them before. They do have a weakness. It's fire. And so I thought we should, you know, use that if we can. And we needed fuel. And he pulls up the alcohol. And we needed a flame. And he pulls up the lighter that he took off the prison guard in the fight.
And remember, he was pretending to be fall. He was actually pretending to be fall down drunk in the dining room, because he that when he fell over, that's when he stuck the alcohol in his jacket. And then when they were fighting is when he got the lighter. So he's like, oh, so you're asking me if it was worth it? Yeah, I think it was worth it. Yeah. And then Antonov's like, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. And he's like, oh, don't make me laugh. I broke my ribs. So they're laughing. And they're back on the same page that at least now they're trying to give themselves a fighting chance. So we jump over to Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City, ding, ding. Salt Lake City is where we go. Dun, 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 bum, bum. Gonna see Susie. That's all that I got. All right, I really didn't plan that. We're back in Susie's house, but we are with the dad. At first, he's on his computer. He's doing some work, and we see his screen for like a few seconds before all the power goes up. But I took a quick, I paused it, so I wanted to see what's on the screen. It says Amiga Workbench version 1.0. So I'm just going to look up real quick. Amiga Workbench. Amiga Workbench is a desktop environment and graphical file manager of Amiga OS developed by Commodore International for their Amiga line of computers. It initially came out in 1985, and holy crap, it's still going as of 2021. Well, it became Amiga OS at one point. But you can see it's the beginnings of a desktop on a computer, which I remember, I think I had a friend who had an Amiga, and I remember they could use the phone. Like, and I thought it was the most amazing thing. We had an Apple II computer at home, which you couldn't get online with. Everything was a disk. Like, I remember going in high school and being like, wait, you can save stuff on the computer without a disk? That's crazy. But anyway, he has a window open in the background that says programs, and then another window that says Word Perfect. And my friends, Word Perfect. Oh my goodness. Before Google Docs, before Microsoft Word, there was Word Perfect. When I was a kid on my Apple, we used something. It was like one of them I used a lot was called Bank Street Writer. I think I might've used Word Perfect. It also, I don't know if that ever came out for the old, you can still do it. It is still a word processing software still around today. But it's like one of the first, you know, document creators. So I love seeing that also. I just want to tell you really quick, not to age myself. I'm going on a tangent. When I first went to college, we had a family computer at home, and there was computer labs at the college, but I did not have a computer in my room. Nobody did. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers. We didn't have cable. I had a TV with rabbit ears. I had my Nintendo and a VCR, and I had a regular telephone. That was the technology, but I did have something to write papers on. A word processor. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, before word processing programs, literally what this was an electric typewriter with a monitor. I had these big old floppy disks. No, I had the little 3.5-inch disks, actually, that I would save these things on, and I would type up a whole paper on that, and then you'd have to print it up. You literally would spool the paper into the typewriter. That's what it looked like. And hit print, and you would hope it was lined up correctly, and then print the whole page. I knew there were some people that had the little screen built right in, and it looked more like a laser printer, like a dot matrix, like a current printer. And I thought those were the future. Those were so cool. But this thing literally typed it out. I had like 30-page script I had to write once, which was just crazy. Having to print that out. That was my tangent. Now back to what he's actually writing. It says, preparing for a celestial marriage. I don't even know what that, now I got to look that up. Celestial marriage. I feel like Google's going to be like, what are you looking up there, Mike? Celestial marriage is a term used in the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints, which is the Mormons, which is a big religion in Utah. It is for marriage is believed to be eternal or sealed for time and all eternity. Well, I believe that too. So it says here, hazardous. This is now I'm going back to what Susie's dad is actually writing. And that our happiness will be far greater if we date those who are members of the church. As our president, Gordon B. Hinckley, I wonder if that's a real person, admonished, I can read, your chances for a happy and lasting marriage will be far greater if you will date those who are active and faithful in the church. The purpose of this life on earth is for us to learn and grow. We grow through making mistakes, and God understands that all of us will fall short as we strive to be like him. Him should be capitalized. That's just me. When we make mistakes, God allows us to repent and be forgiven. So he obviously, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I read this much. Let me finish. And be forgiven for our sins so that we can learn to overcome our weaknesses. How did I do? I'm embarrassed that I just read that like that, but I think I did okay. What I also noticed, there's a cursor. So he has a mouse. I did not have a mouse in the 80s. I don't think we got our first mouse until like 1995, 94, 95. And these Mormons are in the future. Anyway, that's a long way to saying that was what he was working on when the power goes out. And of course, the first thing he does is start blaming his son, Cornelius. Obviously, Cornelius is the troublemaker because like 2 seconds after the power goes out, he's like, Cornelius. And it turns out he did turn the power off, because what he actually did was he turned the power off. The dad goes downstairs to see what's going on, and all the kids rush into his office. Cornelius turns the power back on, and thankfully this computer boots up in 4 seconds, which, you know, I don't know how realistic that is, but again, these are older computers, so there's not much they need to do. So she immediately connects the phone to it and dials in the number, Susie. They're all in there now. And now what's fun is the dad is downstairs completely getting distracted by all these different things. He thinks his daughter might be choking. She's just acting in the movie. They set fire in the kitchen. Like, he gets all these distractions. And when he finally gets back upstairs, Susie and the boys are already done what they're doing. So what happens is they dial in to this phone number, this network. And it's funny because she's like, we're in. And Mike's like, holy heck, you did it. And she's like, yeah, well, you know, I don't see an address yet. And they're like, try office. So she clicks this and all this stuff starts just scrolling. She's like, what is all this? Like, maybe it's hidden in the code. And they're like, this doesn't make any sense. She's like, hold on, I'll trace the IP. And I love that. They're like, the IP? She's like, the internet protocol address. And you forget, or I forget, that these things were around then. These things were already established. These things had names. And, you know, it's commonplace now to hear IP address. But back then, it was just the few who were like more technology, more advanced in their day-to-day technology, that they knew these things. And she's like, it's a unique numerical label given to all information technology connected to the internet. And I love this. It's a little like too much, where they're like, what's the internet? She's like, oh, don't worry about it. It's just going to change the world. But it is something that she would probably say in reality. Like, she knows where it's headed and what it can become. And really, it did change the world, because it allows me to talk to you right now. So thank you, Susie. You were right. So she traces and continues, you know, to like geolocate the IP address, which almost seems hackery to me. Like, you'd think something like this would try to put up some sort of firewall, some sort of, not virus protection, but some sort of safety net. But maybe, again, back then, those things didn't quite exist, and they didn't think anyone would notice or log in. I don't know. But she did get the location. She got the geo-coordinates. What do they call that? The longitude, latitude, 37 degrees, 3, blah, blah, blah. I can't read that. Looks like it says 3 feet. I don't know what that is. North, 116 degrees by 5 by 16, something west. I don't know. But it does say Nevada. And they're like, oh, my God, Nevada. He's like, can you print this somehow? And then you see a moment where you realize why Susie and Dustin are perfect for each other. Because she's like, no, my skills end at IP geolocation. Then she presses a button. The printer starts going. He's like, oh, you're being sarcastic. And she's like, yeah, yeah. Dustin is the same way. The smartest kid in the room, who sometimes socially gets a little too big for his britches. And remember, we actually saw a moment of that with Steve and Dustin, where he's like, hey, like when he was talking, when they were in the basement, Wheeler basement, before I think they went to the cemetery, and Dustin was making some comments, and Steve's like, hey, I thought we talked about that. He's like, oh, sorry, sorry. So I like that. And you see a little bit of that with Susie. So they head out of the room, and they end up crossing paths with Dad, and she's like, hi, Father, you look like you need a nap. And you can see the guy like looks, he's like, who the hell are all these kids? But he just yells, slow down. Like, there's so much commotion in his house, so many kids, that just seeing a few random guys, you know, doesn't quite, I guess it's not that surprising. Like, he doesn't say, who are these people? What's going on there? He's just like, what are you, like, he trusts his kids enough to know that they're not, you know, they're not getting into actual trouble. Unless, of course, you talk about Susie changing grades and dating an agnostic. And I forgot to mention before, they went into the computer room, one of them said, where's our guy? Like, I don't know. And so they head outside of the house. They're about to leave their, you know, and say their goodbyes to Susie. And she's like, I think we just spooked a skunk. No, Susie, that's not a skunk you smell. That smell is coming from the pizza van, because they open it up and you hear pass the chip on the left hand side. And inside the van with smoke everywhere is Susie's sister, is it Eden, and Hopper. He's like, oh, my dudes, any luck? And that's where we end our Utah group. They have coordinates and they're ready to go find 11. So we go to Hawkins for a little bit. We start off in the police cruiser of Chief Powell and Officer Callahan. Callahan is, we see this truck drive by, and Callahan does not like the fact that all these citizens are going out there basically doing vigilante justice. He's freaking out. Powell's keeping a level head. He's like, he's trying to keep things chill. But you can see Callahan is like really upset about it. They get a call that the station wagon, the Wheeler Mobile, has been seen over by Skull Rock, which is a makeout point, I think, also by Lover's Lake, which, of course, is where everything happened. And they're probably trying to figure out what the hell are they doing over there. So they turn the cruiser around and head that way. And what are they doing over there? Well, we see our entire crew following Dustin, following the compass, which leads them to the corner, to the edge of Lover's Lake. And they're like, are you kidding me? There's a gate in the lake? And Nancy brings up, you know, whenever the Demogorgon attacked, it always left a gate. Maybe Vecna is doing the same thing. So they're like, well, there's only one way to find out. And how do they do that? By taking Dustin's compass from him. They have the little speedboat that I guess was left by Reefer Rick, or the boat was there. I'm not sure exactly, but there's a boat there. And they get in. I think it's the same boat that Eddie used. And the older kids get into it. So they said, like, and it's funny, just Dustin starts getting in the boat. And he's like, it's my compass. Like, sorry, nope, not having it. It only holds three people. So Eddie and Steve are sitting there, and Robin uses both their heads to get in. Eddie helps Nancy get in, and then Eddie gets in. But then Steve gets in, and Dustin's like, I thought you said three people. Steve's like, sorry. So that leaves Max, Lucas, and Dustin on the edge of the water while the four older kids head out on the boat. And Robin's, you know, being sarcastic, miss you already, miss you, love you. And he, you know, flicks them off. Dustin flicks them off as they take off in the boat. And that's where we leave Hawkins. Hawkins was only in this for a couple minutes at best. But I do love that Dustin was like, he was kind of putting up a stink about not going. And did I say Steve took the compass? But Nancy took the compass. Nancy kind of talks to him. It's like, hands the, and he begrudgingly is like, oh, he gives her the compass, almost like he'll listen to Nancy. You know, she's only a couple of years older, but she's the adult. So the last segment of this 10 minutes, we are in, well, we're in Nevada, but we're in Eleven's memory. She's still playing that pegboard, basically Plinko from The Price is Right, a game that I would have loved to have played growing up. Oh, did I mention my dog? You might have just heard her crying now. So I'm going to go take her out, but I'm going to use the power of editing to make it very quick. So quick, in fact, you didn't even know I was gone for 20 minutes. So wait, now I have to realize, where was I? Michael, you're a professional. Figure it out. Oh, yes. We're in with Eleven. She is still working on those, the Plinko, you know, the game, trying to figure out how to get that chip, that little, I don't know what you'd call it. I'd call it a chip to go into the right slot. And she's all alone inside this room. So I wonder if this actually happened or not. It probably did. I don't know if she just is alone because of her memory or not, but she hears something happening off in the distance, and she leaves the Rainbow Room and goes to check it out. She goes down the hall and she looks into this test room area, glances inside, and sees these two guards gleefully. They look like they're having way too much fun, and I hate both their hair, and they are shocking. They seem to be using like electric tasers to shock that young, poor, orderly boy. And now he's being dragged away. And they're not the only two in there, because Brenner was in there as well. Brenner's in there, and he kind of turns around quick because Eleven runs around the corner. He turns around quick. He looks to see if someone was there. Was someone there? He doesn't stay very long. And Eleven's like, what the hell's going on? And she slowly backs her way back into the Rainbow Room. Up, and that's it. So she's in the Rainbow Room. I'm sure she'll be fine. She'll just go back to playing with that game. But that's the end of those 10 minutes. So we bounced around to a few different things there. What did we learn? Well, we learned that Hopper has a plan to use fire against the Demogorgon, and now he's filled in Antonov on that. We've learned that Yuri has a silent role in whatever plan Murray and Joyce has. We learn that Susie got the coordinates to where the phone number is located to the Nina Project, and it is in Nevada. We also learn that Eden was getting high with Argyle. And then we also learned that there's possibly a gate in Lover's Lake left behind by Patrick's untimely demise. And it seems like the cops are heading over there because they got a call of seeing the Wheelers station wagon. And then lastly, something's happening in Eleven's memory that is very important to the fact that she's seeing this orderly get shocked. So Brenner is allowing this memory to be seen, is allowing him, like, the fact that he was there, and, you know, everyone in that Nina Project is seeing this, like, oh, wow, Brenner, you were there for this guy being electroshocked. Like, well, maybe you have some culpability. I think that might be the right word. But Eleven's freaked out by that. She's not seen by Brenner, but she backs into the Rainbow Room, and that's where we finish these 10 minutes. So that is it. We have one more episode left in the dive. If I'm correct, I think, you know, this, it really goes almost exactly 10 minutes, maybe a couple seconds over. I don't even know if it's worth calling out an overtime as we finish out chapter six. But that will be tomorrow. That is tomorrow's problem. Today, happy Halloween, everybody. And I'm glad that I was able to get another episode out to you guys today. Tomorrow, it's going to be at night again. I know that for sure. Because tomorrow during the day, my wife and I are taking our friend's daughter to go see Finding Nemo Jr., which should be fun. Anytime we like taking her to stage shows, to plays and stuff. And that, and we've always had fun with that. Then we're going to go to Friendly's. Now, if you don't know Friendly's, it might be a big deal. It was a much bigger deal when I was a kid. There still are some Friendly's left, obviously, because we're going. It's like an ice cream parlor / restaurant. So go get a sandwich, go get some ice cream. Big in Massachusetts, big in New England, maybe on the East Coast. I don't know how many there are left. But they used to also be in the malls around where we were, like... lots of kids I knew growing up worked at Friendly's. My sister-in-law worked at a Friendly's. And there was one, I think there used to be actually two in our mall, one small one and one bigger one. That's how popular they were when I was a kid back in the 80s. So I'm going to feel like I'm in the 80s going to Friendly's tomorrow. But then at night I will check in with you guys and we will cover the last few minutes of The Dive. We're getting there. We are getting there. We're going to make it happen, friends. So just stick with me. You can follow me on everywhere on social at Geek Mentality. But like I said, the TikTok is Geek Mentality Mike. You can follow us on Facebook at Fans.Experts, on YouTube at Fans.Experts. You can get to all my podcasts at Fans.Experts.com. But you can get specifically and you can target Stranger Danger specifically by going to StrangerDangerPodcast.com. That is it. I am done. I will talk to you soon, my friends. But remember, stay stranger and keep in mind that people like you and people like me, we are the ones who will keep Stranger Things alive forever. Happy Halloween!
Fans Not Experts.